Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight we're doing session two in our series on friendship with God. And session two is entitled Walking in Intimacy. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is the separation point, the difference between Christianity and any other religion or any other approach to God, is that we're not talking about merely a God that we follow. We're talking about a God that we have friendship with, and that we've got access to the emotional capacities of God, to his heart, and to walk with him. This is one of the most exciting subjects to me, because we have this opportunity to be able to walk with God as a friend in this life, and that unlike your best friend that you've had in the natural at any point in your life, this friend never misses the moment, never misses the experience. I can think of times where you guys all know my buddy Pancake. I can think of times where I will remember a story, remember something that we did, and I just so wanted him to be there that I write him into the storyline accidentally. And it's happened a couple of times where he's like, Brad, I wasn't there for that. No, remember we did this? Yeah, no, I don't remember that because I was not there. And I'm like, man, I really thought you were there. You guys ever done that before? I mean, done in with an honest heart. It wasn't done, you know, out of malice or anything. Well, with Jesus, literally every single memory, every moment he was there. And you can count on him being there. I mean, this is so cool. Because he's real. He's invisible to our natural eye, but he's so much more real than you and me. And knowing that he's there, and that this friendship, that the ability to dialogue with him, the ability to interact with him at every moment, about every situation, past, present, in your life, in somebody else's life, you can interact with your friend Jesus about experiences I had. I mean, you can talk to Jesus about any and everything. This is so powerful, and it really gives life the capacity to not be boring, to never be dull, to always have meaning, to always have a note of higher purpose, of divine calling. I mean, traffic. Lord, what are you thinking about traffic? What do you want to show me in traffic right now? I mean, he's always there, always. So in this message tonight, I'm talking about walking in intimacy. We don't want to just live the Christian life, whatever that means. And I just, man, I've been in a number of contexts before, church contexts, where there was a great emphasis put on living the Christian life, you know, being a person of character and following what the Word says. And those things are great. It's just, man, what's the fuel behind that? Be good because you just should be good? I mean, it almost sounds a little bit like we're trying to present ourselves to God in such a way that we could, like, somehow, you know, win his favor. I mean, our righteous deeds are filthy rags. We walk in righteousness because he's holy, but not because we've got a list of to-dos or a list of necessities of what it means to be a good Christian person. Like, that stuff's just crazy. We want to not just live the Christian life. We want to walk in intimate friendship with him. And that word intimate. So part of what we're going to talk about tonight is going to maybe sound like review from several messages that we've done around here, talking about the love of God. But you can't have a conversation about the friendship of God, being a friend of God, without really touching on the love of God, because we're not walking in just some distant friendship. I've got a couple of distant friends. You probably do as well. Those that, you know, are acquaintances plus, but not a whole lot of plus. You know, this isn't that kind of a relationship where we've just got an acquaintance relationship with God. This is an intimate, day-to-day, if we want it, encounter with the living God, but not encounter like little person, big God merely. Encounter like powerful God who's willing to have friendship and reveal secrets and speak to and walk in close relationship with little you. This is really a big deal. So this idea of walking in intimacy is going to require we touch on the love factor, touch on the love of God and our response to him. So we'll get there. Tonight, what we want to do is, in this session, I just want to touch on a few points, maybe three or four points, about walking in intimacy with God, specifically the details of the relationship. We're talking about how do we get to friendship with God? God gives us the invitation, but how do we respond? What is saying yes to being a friend with God, being a friend to God, what does that look like? What does that mean? How do we get to friendship? I think I told you guys in the last message, there have been a couple of people in my life where I met them or I heard about them through another friend or whatever, and there was just something about them where I'm like, I want to be their friend. Like, even if they don't want me to be their friend, like, I'll buy them off. They're going to be my friend, man. They're awesome. There's just a couple of people that I've been like, man, I am going to pursue a friendship with you until you tell me to get away and, like, put me on the stalker list. Like, I think you're awesome. And this idea, see you over there. And this idea of getting to friendship with God, he's actually given us the list of the requirements, if you will, the on-ramps to that friendship. What does it look like? The invitation is being made, but just because we're saved does not mean we are walking in that friendship. That friendship has some criteria points that he's looking for. And in order for us to have that intimacy, we got to embrace those things. We've been given access. This is the key point for our relationship with God, is that it doesn't require mile marker, milestone moments aren't the only time that we can connect with him. Like, for instance, you can only have friendship encounter with God. You can only communicate with God on your spiritual birthday. You know, you can only encounter God when you're at the church building. You can only encounter God if there's so many things in a circumstance that are lined up. We have been given access to the living God every single second of every single day. You have the ability right now to completely tune me out and connect with God in the middle of this service. That God is that close, that we are able to connect with him because he desires intimacy so much, he makes himself fully available. That there's not just certain times like, well, if you get up at, 2 in the morning, that's the only time you can connect with me. The Lord is available at all times for us to be able to talk to him, walk through life with him, and be a friend to him and receive that friendship back. Well, one of the details of the relationship, one of the ways that we get to friendship is faith. It requires faith. You guys know the Hebrews 11:6 passage, but this is an important point. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We have to believe he's there and seek him. I mean, how in the world could we have a friendship with somebody that we don't really believe he's there? You know, like you just suddenly like, you're dead to me. You don't exist. And there's no way to then have a relationship with that person because you've written them off. They no longer exist in your world, in your little mind. The Lord desires that friendship, but he requires that moment to moment, we believe he's on the other end of that friendship. That we believe that he's there for real. And so there's a significant part of our friendship with God that's actually just in your court. I mean, it's up to you. Do you want to believe him? Do you want to believe that he's there? Do you want to believe that he's a friend? Do you want to believe that he is wanting friendship with you? If the answer is yes, you're already halfway there. If your answer is no, blockade. Blockade in the friendship. Now, the reason I bring that up is because so many times the enemy wants to bring in condemnation. Our own minds want to play the rationale game and be like, well, I haven't seen God do this in a while, or I haven't seen this, or, if God was really my friend, he'd do this. We start putting those little things in there, and what it winds up actually doing is creating doubt in our heart about God's nature, about God's willingness, about what the Word of God says. It says he wants to be a friend. And we wind up doing it to ourselves. The author of Hebrews makes this connection. He says, there's a connection, if you will, in this verse that we're looking at, this Hebrews 11:6. There's a connection between believing that he exists and earnestly seeking him. If you knew there was $1 billion of buried treasure buried 3 feet under your yard, in your front yard, right under the giant X, If you believed that, you would do one thing with your afternoon. I mean, if you found out that, you would run out of the service right now, and you would go to In-N-Out. You would go dig up the X. Like, if you really believe that was there, you would earnestly go about the business of digging that treasure up so you could be a bajillionaire in about 5 minutes. If you really believed that, it would cause a reaction. It would cause something to spring forward out of you as a response to that reality. Those that believe he exists will earnestly seek him. So part of this friendship is the earnest seeking. God is looking for us to engage him. I mean, he's so comfortable. It scares me. It bugs me a little. It bugs me a little how comfortable he is with being invisible. Like, he is so comfortable. It's like, well, if you don't want to believe I exist, I mean, if you just like, well, God's not real, he's okay with that. I mean, I was lost for a long time. I didn't know he was real. He's okay. He's so comfortable in himself. He's willing. He is allowing mankind to not find him if mankind does not want to. And that's not just lost, saved. That's saved seeking, saved not seeking. Saved earnestly seeking him. The Lord is giving us an invitation to earnestly seek him as a friend, but we actually have to seek him. It requires faith, though. I mean, it does. I mean, because you hear a teaching like this, and as soon as it becomes real to you, now there's this entry point. There's a door that you know how to get to called faith for friendship. And it's now your job to encounter God by pressing into faith to believe that there's really a friend on the other end of this friendship. There's really one who wants you to receive him, that he exists, and that he is willing to respond to you if you will earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. I think the greatest reward we could possibly have, I mean, I got a couple of things on my list right now that I'm like seeking the Lord for. I'd like to see him do this and change this in my circumstances and this. I think the greatest reward we could possibly come up with is friendship with God. I mean, that we would know that he exists, engage him, earnestly seek him. What bigger reward than when it's show and tell day, you bring your friend to class, and your friend's name is God, creator of the universe. That God is a friend who wants to be earnestly sought. That's the reward. The reward of the Christian life is that we get to know God and have him as a friend and draw near to him. But we can't doubt. James 1, 6 through 8, you guys know the passage about believing, about asking, about believing that when we ask, we can't doubt. Look what it says. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all they do. When we set ourselves to set out to engage the Lord in friendship, we've got to rebuke those thoughts that he won't listen, that he's not really there, that he's not willing to respond. Well, he's willing to be friends with those people, but not with me. You got to rebuke those things. I mean, you can't be asking God, God, I believe you. Hebrews 11, 6, I know that you're there. I believe that you exist. And now I'm earnestly seeking you. Oh, but you probably won't respond to me. I'm kind of, you know, not a big deal. You probably won't really listen to me right now. There's so many other things going on, you know. I've sinned recently. You probably don't want anything to do with me. I mean, we've got to, like, take our thoughts captive. I mean, there's a significant part of this friendship with God that's up to you. And the Lord is the one extending the invitation. But there's a significant amount of this battle that occurs even in our own mind and heart to fight for that friendship and just know that as big of a reward, if it's true that I'm even in the ballpark on the greatest reward we could have is friendship with God, then we better believe that there's a devil out there who wants to fight in our emotions and our thoughts and our circumstances to keep back the greatest reward. And it comes in the form of doubt. It comes in the form of distraction. In the form of all these things that would keep us from believing that he exists and earnestly seeking him. We've got to rebuke those thoughts. Scripture says that the righteous will learn to live by faith. Let's look at those verses. Hebrews 10:38, 2 Corinthians 5:7, both say similarly. My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Ew. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith and not by sight. There's a, you know, maybe 15 passages in the scripture that are just requotes of this same passage, of this same verse. And they say it a little bit differently, but the gist is there. That the Lord is looking for those that will live by faith. So it's not having faith in a moment. It's not coming to saving faith in Jesus that's sufficient. It's living by faith. Do you know what I live by right now? I live by oxygen. I live by oxygen. I take breaths pretty frequently. If you listen real careful, you can hear me even as I speak. I'm living out of the reality of oxygen fueling my body right now. I don't take a breath once or twice a day or like at mealtime. It's a living reality for me. We could come up with 100 such examples of things that are living realities for us. The Lord is not looking for us to have faith moments. He's looking for us to have faith living. But the only way we could do that is to know that he exists and to diligently seek him. Not in moments, not in like the key moment, oh, I need a house, so I got to do this, well, I just got fired. Not in the mile marker moments of life only, in life. Engaging the living God, learning to live by faith in our decisions, in our conversations, in our free moments, in our thought life, in our driving, in our going down, in our waking up. Living by faith. And he says this, my righteous ones, they'll be different. They're not going to just get saved. My righteous ones are going to learn the trade of living by faith. Living with the trust that I exist. Living with the trust that they can talk to me and I can speak back. Living with the trust that I respond and that I reward those who would diligently or earnestly or eagerly seek after me. In any moment, in any situation, in all circumstances. This is the Lord's desire. You guys remember Abraham, of whom this was primarily spoken in the most central context. Abraham was the model of faith. He was the model that the Lord established as setting apart a man from all the peoples of the earth in order to establish a people. Abraham walked by faith. He was known as a friend of God. He was known. The scripture testifies about the man Abraham that he was a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be known by the angels as a friend of God. I want to be known by God as a friend of God. I want my own heart to be filled with that revelation that I am a friend of God. And Abraham was known as a friend of God because he walked by faith and not by what he saw. I mean, there's 1,000 moments in your week that you can walk out in friendship with God through faith instead of believing what it is that you see. It's intentional. It's decisions. And I believe it's something that the Lord really desires. Well, next aspect of this walking in an intimate friendship with God, what is another defining characteristic of the relationship? What is something else about this friendship? What is another component? A relationship of reciprocated love. It's reciprocated. God shows his love to us. He wants us to show his love back, or show our love back to him. And then he desires again to show his love to us. And for us to show our love back, he desires a reciprocation back and forth. It can't just be one way. Now, this is good news for both sides. It's really good news for us because it means we get God's love all the time. God's desiring to show us his love, to reveal his love to us. But it's exciting to him too, because he wants that love reciprocated back. And actually, we'd get all clogged up if all we were ever doing was receiving and never turning that back around. That's why worship's so powerful, so awesome, to engage our hearts and actually sing a love song to him, to do something intimate, to sing him a song. I'll just give you a little bonus here, a little side note. When you come into a worship service, do your best with your worst or your best voice, whatever you happen to have been blessed with, to sing out loud, to engage your spirit, and to sing love songs to Jesus. It is an incredible opportunity for your human spirit to engage with the Holy Spirit and sing songs straight to the heart of God. And something about singing does something in your heart as an expression of worship, an expression of love. The relationship is about the love of God going back and forth between us and God, receiving his love and then returning it back to him. His love for us is the basis of this relationship. It's what holds it all together. He has extended friendship to us by extending his great love. And what it looks like for us is choosing in the moment to respond to him, to speak to him, to involve him. You know, I mean, that's what friends do. I just think about my upbringing. I had a couple of best friends, and one in particular, I mean, I'd call him up and be like, hey, I got to go run some errands. You want to come with me? Sure. I could use some company. Like, all right, cool. Oh, man, it's almost Christmas. I got to go Christmas shopping. You want to go Christmas shopping? Not really, but I'll come with you. You know, I mean, we go. I mean, it's like, hey, you want to come over and do what? Sit on the couch and do nothing for hours. Yep, here I come. It's like it didn't matter what we were doing. It's just involving one another in each other's life, you know? And I mean, it was in those moments where some of the funniest little things that we'll still text each other about, like, dude, you remember that thing that you came up with? Oh, man, that funny accent you did. I mean, those little moments that were just so random that just came about in a friendship because we were spending time with each other, because we were being intentional to get one another involved in whatever it is that we happened to be doing, even if what we were doing was sitting. Man, we were professional sitters as teenagers. It was awesome. That's what this friendship's about, is getting him involved. The Lord wants for us to get him involved. And that's the greatest expression of that love, is, Lord, you're real. You exist. Come with me today. I'm not in traffic. I'm in traffic with you. I'm not in this boring meeting. I'm in a boring meeting with you. Lord, what do you think about the boring meeting? I'm not in this hard conversation. I'm in a hard conversation with you. You're here. You're here right now. Taking him with you. Engaging him. It's an act of love. Every time he goes, oh, they believe that I exist. They believe that I exist. How do you know? The angels are all saying, how do you know, God? How do you know? Because they're talking to me right now. Well, that's kind of weird. They're in like a training at work. Why are they talking to you? Because they believe I exist and that I'm in the room being trained with them. And yeah, that guy really could use a little bit of something, something. Man, he's a pretty boring instructor. I mean, it's like the Lord is there with you, but only if you invite him in. And the Lord delights in it. He loves it. He loves the invitation. He's the one that extends the initial invitation of friendship. He wants us to take him along with him, along with us everywhere that we go, everything that we do. Getting the revelation of God's love for us and his nature transforms us and causes us to want to reach out to him in greater love. That's this defining point of the relationship. The second one that I'm making is that it's about reciprocated love. His love for us changing us to cause us to do things, say things, and want things we didn't say, want, need, do before. That the nature of God, that his extension of love to us causes our hearts to want to reach more and more. I think about the great example of Mary of Bethany. Think about what the revelation of God's love did to that gal. It messed her up. It messed her up. We see her three times in the scripture, and all three times that we see Mary of Bethany, she's at Jesus's feet. I mean, That was an interesting reality in that day. Some serious cultural boundaries were being broken there. Some serious gender boundaries were being broken. But for now, just imagine this. My friend Andrew. I love him dearly. So instead of getting up here to preach after he gets done leading worship, he's trying to get off the stage area up here, trying to go sit down, and I just run up to him, smile real big, and dive at his feet and just start playing with his sandal. Kind of an awkward moment. Kind of. But then he's like, okay, weird. He kind of steps over me, and I'm just standing there. Oh, no, your sandal. He goes and sits down, and I'm left there, you know, on my face in the awkward moment. Time goes by. I come up here. I preach. Time's over. He tries to go to the bathroom at the end of the message, and I run out the door, and before he breaks the threshold of the bathroom floor, I dive safe, and I grab his feet, and I just grab his ankle and start squeezing his ankle. He's like, Brad, what in the world? Get over it. And like every interaction that you could possibly imagine, he's trying to go to his car later to put his kid in the car, and I just grab his feet so big that he falls over, timber like a tree. I mean, that's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Every time we see Mary, that's what she was doing. She was at his feet weeping. Weeping. It wasn't a funny little interaction. It was a heart reaching to Jesus. What causes a person to do that? The revelation of the love of God, and so she reciprocated that love back. It was an intimate act, not of just a worshiper and God. It was an intimate relational act. I mean, there is relational equity being built there. This gal, impacted by the love of God, at the feet of Jesus, weeping, loving him, telling him with her tears and whatever little sobs and stuff came out that she loves him. I mean, she took every available opportunity, but that's what happens when we get the revelation of the love of God. So I just encourage you, as you're in this journey of trying to figure out, how do I build a deeper friendship with God? Get a deeper revelation of the affections of God, a deeper revelation of how God feels, how God loves you, because every time Mary saw Jesus, after she got this revelation, she's at his feet. I'll just read them real quick. Luke 10:38. Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. John 11:32. Mary came where Jesus was. She saw him and she fell down at his feet. John 12:3. And Mary took a pound of very costly oil and spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I just want to be one that is aware of the presence of Jesus and is engaging him. Maybe it's with weeping, maybe it's with joy, maybe it's with just conversation, but that is so impacted by the love of God that I'm reaching to extend that relationship, to push that friendship forward. The last point that I'm going to make in this journey of what does it look like to have a relationship, a friendship with God, is it's a relationship that requires obedience. We know Deuteronomy 6:3 and Luke 11:28 and a bunch of other verses that say similarly, talking about the necessity of obedience. And being obedient to God is necessary, but there's more to it than that. I gave you a couple of the verses. You can see them on the screen there that just talk about him calling us into obedience. He calls his people to be a people that are obedient. But what I really want to focus on is John 15:14-15. This is where we see that there's more to it than him simply saying, I want you to walk in obedience. It's important to me that you learn to live a life of obedience and to obey the word. Look at what Jesus says right here, defining point for the relationship. You are my friends if you do what I command. I would seem to say that if we don't do what he commands, we're not his friends. Even this week, I've heard testimony from people about, they're talking about others that they know. I'm talking about the way that they've been committed to not do the will of God. And talking about them as people that know God and love God. That's impossible. It's impossible. We're his friends if we do what he commands. Now, that doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you live a perfect life. There is no one who's doing that. There are zero people on the planet who are making zero mistakes and who are, you know, never doing wrong. The issue is repentance and getting back up on the horse and following him, doing the best that we can to follow his commands. But those that are like not concerned with the commands of God are not friends of God. They're not. I don't care what they say. I don't care what their religious situation is or their background. You are my friends if you do what I command. And I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I've made known to you. He's calling us friends if we do what he commands. This issue of obedience, it's not just an invitation of obedience. It's not just the Lord saying, you know, live the good Christian life, be obedient. He's saying, this is actually a prerequisite for friendship with me. Don't you want friendship with me? Then do what I command. You've got to follow me. It's not enough that you just sing the songs and do the dance. But you've got to do what I command. This is so important. And I look at this doing what he commands issue, and it's an issue of sin. It's an issue of compromise. But it's also an issue of ignoring his leading. Do what he commands. I mean, imagine the moment Jesus is standing there, and to one he says, hey, you need to stop sinning. I know there's sin in your life. And the guy goes, ugh, you're totally right. To the next disciple, he looks at him, and he goes, listen, you've been compromising on this thing that you know better. You need to stop compromising. The guy goes, okay. And the last one, he goes, hey, I really need you to go into town and get some supplies for us. And the man says, no, I won't do it. Well, it's the command of Jesus. You got to do it. What do you mean, no? The Lord is commanding you to do whatever. Stand on your head. Go buy some supplies. Move here. Do this. Take that. Stop this. The commands of the Lord. The Lord speaking to us. I'm just thinking about this. The Lord desires that friendship with us, but it requires that we do what he commands. Again, I know a number of people that call themselves believers, but do not want to do God's will. They do not want to do what he commands. They don't like what his Bible says. They don't want to read any more about it because they don't want to find out more stuff that they don't want to do. I mean, it's like they hear the still small voice of God and they're just like, I don't want anything to do with that. Again, I'm not saying that we've all had those moments where we feel the nudging of the Lord and we're like, oh, I'm scared, I don't want to do it. And then later we're on our bed going, oh God, help me, I want to do it next time, I'm sorry. That's different. We're talking about people that are just like, no, I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to do that. They're not believers. They're not brothers. They're not sisters in the faith. You're my friends if you do what I command. And sin breaches our fellowship with God. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 1 John 1. What do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? There's this concept of friendship again, this fellowship, this nearness, this intimacy. What fellowship can there be with light, God, and darkness, the unwillingness to follow the Lord? We want to be those that in every area of our life, as we're trying to pursue friendship with God, that we're looking at every area of God, of compromise, of darkness, of no in our heart, of resistance, of lack of faith. We're just going, God, help work this stuff out. I want friendship. And again, like we've talked about in so many different relationships and tiers of friendships, we've got varying levels of friendships with people. Some in this room, some out of this room. Friendship is not like an on-off switch. You either have a friendship or you don't, and there's no varying degrees. You've got some friends that are super close. You've got some that it doesn't matter how far, how distant it is. You're just, because you're just so connected in heart and there's so much relational equity, you can just be around each other and it feels like you never skip the beat. You've got some that like you're just starting to get to know in friendship. You've got some that you've known a long time, but you've not gotten to know that well. I mean, there's all different kinds of friendship. So we're not talking about you either have a friendship with God or you don't. We're talking about how do we deepen the friendship. Look for the areas of compromise in your life. Look for the areas of no in your heart. Look for the areas of sin. Just say, I don't want that. I want to be the friend of Jesus. I want to do what he commands. I want to follow him wherever he may go. Well, the last thing I want to talk about is what it means, what it looks like to have intimate friendship with God. He requires that we follow him. We've been talking about that. Look at this passage in Mark 12, 46 through 50. This is Jesus, and he's not using the word friendship in this passage, but the concept is very clear that he's talking about intimate relationship. Mark 12, 46 through 50. He's in the middle of a corporate meeting, and some people come up and they say, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, listen, some very important relationships to you are just outside the door. Don't you want to stop what you're doing and give some attention to them? And this is what Jesus does, describing how he defines intimate relationship, how he describes those that are near him and those that aren't. He says this, still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him, and someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied to them, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. He's talking about that nearness of relationship. He doesn't use the word friendship, but it's the close proximity of relationship. And what I want to focus on is, I just look at this and go, Jesus is describing in this moment, he's being confronted. He's saying, you've got your natural family out there and they want to talk to you. And Jesus is like, can I just tell you something? The relationships that are most important to me are the ones that are right here with me that didn't have to come find me. They were already with me. There was no journey for them to get here. They were already in my midst. And I just imagine him pointing. He's pointing at his disciples. It's like, you got Peter. Here's my mother. Points at Peter. Peter's like, I'm not your mama. And he points at John. It's like, here's my brother. And John's like, look, okay. You know? Points at James. Here's my sister. James's like, oh, come on. Come on. Sister, really? You got to go there? Because Jesus wasn't talking about, you know, disowning your family or, you know, trying to somehow like get adopted into somebody else's. He's talking about the proximity of relationship, that nearness, that intimacy, that closeness. He's saying, here are the ones that do the will of God. They're the ones that are close and near. They're the ones that are really getting this whole intimate relationship concept. And they didn't have to come find me. They were already with me. And I just wanted to say that to us as we're journeying, just be with him where he is. What's he doing? What's he saying in your life? What's he doing? Where is he leading you? What's he want? Don't be at a place where you have to go find Jesus. Be with him all the time. Don't take the job you're not supposed to take. That's crazy. Don't move to the city you're not supposed to move to. Don't start the relationship you're not supposed to start. Just stay. What are you doing, Jesus? Let me be where you are. I just want to be right where you are. I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God in the sense of sin and righteousness. I want to do the will of God in the sense of your specific plan for my life. I just want to follow you. Where are you going? Don't ever be so far away from Jesus you have to find him. Just be where he is. He says, these are my sisters. I'm a bro, man. Friendship with him requires unity with him. Look at this passage in Psalm 15. Again, doesn't use the word friendship. But you can see the nearness of the relationship here, the intimate connection. Those that are able to draw near to God, have close relationship with him. He says this, Lord, who may dwell in your secret tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, and who speaks the truth. This issue of intimacy, of nearness, it's tied to that righteousness thing. Speaking the truth. Doing what is right. I want to be one who grows in that relationship, in that friendship, in that intimacy with God. I want to dwell in his sacred tent. I want to draw so near. I want to be so close in relationship with him. Friendship requires willingness to be rebuked. I'm just thinking about this one and thinking about it in my own life. As I've said the statement to the Lord, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to draw near. And I've taken some steps in my heart and in my life to do that. I found that drawing nearer and nearer to God, he really presses the issue of this blamelessness, being close to his tent thing. That when he finds areas that he does not agree with, he corrects, he rebukes, he calls it out. That nearness to God is going to require our heart's response in humility to be challenged, to be corrected, to be rebuked. Look at these verses, Revelation 3:19 and Matthew 16:23, talking about this issue specifically, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I mean, there's Jesus on the front end saying, those that I love, I'm going to get up in their business and I'm going to rebuke them and I'm going to discipline them. And right after that, he says, it's you. I love you. Repent. He gets right up in the business and says, there's this issue in your life and I'm not in agreement with it. I don't like it. If we want friendship with God, I just want to tell you, we have got to be willing to let him convict. We've got to let him rebuke our motives. We've got to be willing to let him throw down our ideas when it's our idea. God, I've got this thing. I've been wanting this thing for years. And the Lord goes, I'm actually not even in that. We've got to let him rebuke us. And we've got to take it. We can't just put our tail between our legs and be like, well, God didn't want me to do this thing and then retreat. Intimacy with God, friendship with God is going to have moments of those disappointments, moments where he rebukes us. I just think about poor Peter, who loved God. And Peter thought he was doing the right thing. But there was a little bit of fleshly motive behind it. Peter didn't really like the idea of a Jesus-less world. Don't blame him. And Peter, out of his desire to not have a Jesus-less world, gets in Jesus' face and starts saying, no, Lord, it's not going to be like that. And Jesus, who loves Peter, he loves him, fires back with a bazooka to the face. Says, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You see the other guys go, Peter's the devil. I knew it. And Peter's going, I don't want to be the devil. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. I mean, are you willing? Is your friendship so close with Jesus? He would feel comfortable saying this to you? I think about that. I mean, Jesus was comfortable enough with Peter to think Peter wasn't going to leave him forever. I mean, I could think of 10 ways Jesus could have said this a little softer and still got the point across. He like went for the jugular. He says, you know what? That's vulnerability. Jesus wants a friendship with you that he can rebuke your poor motives. He can call out desires in your heart that really aren't godly. Things that you want, things that you've said, things that you... He wants to get in your business. Last point, and we'll close. Is friendship with Jesus requires a willingness to be wounded. Job was called a friend of God. There's only a handful of people in the scripture that it says it specifically about an individual with their name, that they were a friend of God. There's only a handful, like three. And Job was one of those three. And what did God do for his friend, Job? He destroyed him. And then he beat him. And then he put his foot on his neck and rubbed his face in the dirt. I mean, God was pretty tough on Job. But look what the scripture says. I'll give you Job 13, and then also Proverbs 27:6. Read the Proverbs verse first. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Listen, friendship with Jesus, as you start going a little bit higher in your friendship, whatever the bar is, however you measure friendship with God, I don't really know. But whatever that looks like, as you keep going deeper into relationship with Jesus, deeper in friendship, he's going to wound you. He's going to wound you. And that wounding will do one of two things. It will either cause your heart to be so stretched that you go, I don't even care if he's mean to me for the rest of our friendship. I'm going to be his friend because he's good and I know him. Or it's going to cause your heart to retreat and go, I don't know that I really like being friends with you. I mean, I liked it when you were doing nice things for me. Shall we accept good from the Lord and not trouble? Oh, but when those testings come, it's difficult to not find ourselves in the place of accusation. Look what Job said, though. Job, in the midst of it all, he says, though he slay me. And you guys know the story of Job. It's like really, really awful. I don't know that anybody in the Word, as far as just a man who was living his life, had it as bad as Job had it for a while there. I mean, everybody and everything that he cared about and loved or liked or that he had as an asset was like dead or destroyed or stolen or something awful worse. This is pretty bad. Though he slay me, and notice he doesn't pull any punches, though God does terrible, terrible, terrible things to me, God, strategy, do terrible things to Job today, Job, having terrible things done to him by God, that's what he's saying, though he slay me, I don't get it. I'm still going to hope in him. He's God. I'm his friend. It's a weird friendship. I don't think I'm going to be doing this to anybody else, and I sure hope nobody else does it to me, but he's God. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. I've been faithful. I've walked with him. Indeed, this will, in fact, somehow, I don't know how, but somehow I know this will, in fact, turn out for my deliverance. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. As we seek to go deeper in friendship with God, we just need to know there are going to be those moments where he wounds us. So tonight I've given you a few things that have been characteristics of friendship and a few things that we need to know what we're getting into and what he's asking from us in, as we grow in friendship with God. And I'll just tell you this. The measure of the maturity of our friendship is not how loud you sing. It's not how much you do this, how much you do that. There are these measuring points. The measuring points of the one who does what I command. They're my friend. The one who believes me and seeks me diligently. They're my friend. The one whom I can wound and they won't retreat. They're my friend. The one whom I can rebuke because they've got stuff in their life, because they're not perfect, because they're not me. The one whom I can rebuke, and they don't retreat. They don't turn away. They're my friend. These are the measuring lines of friendship for the Lord. And again, it's in our hands. We say we want friendship with God, then we need to engage the living God on his terms and ask him to increase that friendship.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.